Good afternoon. It's good to be with you. Good to have so many visitors with us. We're glad that you're here. If you would, please open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Tonight I want to talk about five questions about Jesus and authority. You know, I hesitate to put that there's 5 points because then you start counting down and start looking forward to number five, and when is he going to get to number two? But that's it. You know, I've already done it. But 5 questions about Jesus and authority. This at the period of time in Jesus' life, his time was growing near. The cross was at hand. It was only days away. And there were some that, you know, greatly loved and accepted Jesus Christ as he rode into Jerusalem. The triumphal entry, the crowd warmly received him, as we see in Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 7. Matthew chapter 21, and we'll read verses 7 through 11. Matthew 21, 7 through 11. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." And so, if you just take these few verses out of context, it seems like things are going pretty well. But, you know, this is not well. Everything is not going well. There's an undercurrent here, a hidden agenda that religious leaders had. They had planned to kill Jesus. And Jesus knew that, and Jesus acted in such a way that really exposed what was going on at the time, as we read on in verse 12. Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children, you know, crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?'" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. And so Jesus here, you know, performing some actions which they didn't like, of course, the chasing out of the money changers, but he's also healing those that are lame, and he's also paying attention to the children. So there are certainly some positive things that he's done here, but he's doing these things, and it angers some of the temple officials, and certainly does provoke them. You know, being in the temple, and they kind of perceive him as being in their territory. You know. Sometimes we hear about people that say, "Get off my lawn, you know, get out of my yard, get away from my things," and kind of picture them in that way. These are the religious leaders that, you know, you're in our turf, you're in our area. And they confronted Jesus and they challenged him in verse 23. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you that authority?" And Jesus answered them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, I'll also tell you by what authority that I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come, from heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority that I do these things." And this incident was just 5 days before Jesus went to the cross. And certainly this is one of the things that provoked them to cause them to want to take Him and crucify Him. So as you might expect, you know, there are often powerful lessons that are found in moments of extreme crisis and how things are handled. And so here's some questions that are being asked. And we want to talk about these questions. And do these questions need to be asked? Well, let's talk about it. The first question that we have is, did these men have a right to confront Jesus? In verse 23, when He entered the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came up to Him as He was seen, saying, "By what authority are You doing these things?" So they asked that question. Do You have authority? Who gave You the authority to do this? So should they have asked this question? Well, you think about their position. They had a right to confront people that were taking any kind of action in the temple. You know, they were the ones that at the time were ruling the temple. But as Jesus had pointed out, there was one that was greater than the temple that was there. So they certainly could confront Him, but you know, they didn't really need to. They shouldn't need to because Jesus was greater than the temple. But you know, put that aside for a second. You know, Jesus had worked miracles in the temple just the day before. If you look back at verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 21, it says, "The blind and the lame came to Him in the temple. He healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things He did and the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna, Son of David,' they were indignant." So they were upset about those things rather than rejoicing, which would be the normal reaction, wouldn't it? If you see that somebody that's lame and blind, and you had no ability to do anything about that. You had no resources, nothing that you could do for that person. And here Jesus comes and helps them. That should be something that would cause a great deal of rejoicing if they really cared about people. But rather than rejoicing, as some people did, the temple rulers were indignant and upset over His healings. But not every ruler reacted in this way. If you go to John chapter 3, you can read about Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews, and he's the one that came to Jesus by night and said to Him, "Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him." So here is a religious leader that saw what Jesus did and had a proper reaction. But you also notice that Nicodemus came to Him by night, and that's probably not a coincidence either, that it was done at that time. But, you know, so Jesus had an effect, a positive effect on some, but most of the ones who already had enough evidence to know that Jesus was who He said He was were ignoring the evidence. And why would they need to ask the question, "By what authority have You done these things?" Well, you know, it should be obvious to you that you've seen the things that I've done and the things that I do, as Nicodemus said, only God being with somebody could cause somebody to be able to do those things. So they were ignoring the evidence that was there to know what the source of authority was, but they asked that question. So instead of having a confrontation with Jesus, they should have recognized that His miracle served as a confirmation of who He was and what authority He had, and that they recognized that Jesus was using Scripture in a proper way as well. But let's segue into the next question. Were the questions about authority proper? They were asking questions about authority. And is that a proper thing to ask? Verse 23 of Matthew 21, "And He entered the temple. The chief priests and elders came up to Him as He was teaching and said, 'By what authority are You doing these things? And who gave You this authority?'" And of course, today we recognize that there are many people that don't care much for authority. It may be in their personal life. It may be in their religious life that they feel like they have authority to do whatever they want. And they don't think about the authority by which they do things. Certainly that's a subject that we've addressed before. But some people might say, "Well, what's the big deal with that? We don't need authority to do what we do." But Jesus did not answer the question that way. He did not, you know, tell them, well, you know, authority's not a big deal. He did ask them some questions, but we'll talk about that in a second. But he never talked like that. Jesus never said that authority was not an issue. In fact, Jesus said the opposite of that. You know, he gave authority for what he was doing, and he certainly had authority to do what he did because of who he was, and that he was the Son of God. And as was read for us this evening in Matthew chapter 15, when the Pharisees came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat? Jesus turned that around and asked them, you are breaking commandments of God for the sake of your tradition. They were not properly applying the Word of God. And so these same leaders that are coming to Jesus and saying, why by all authority are you doing these things? They were the ones that were rejecting what God had authorized. They were putting in place their own special doctrines. And Jesus taught that He nor the Holy Spirit were allowed to act without the authority of God. In John chapter 6, verse 38, He says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. But Jesus was not there to just do whatever He wanted. In verse 10 of chapter 14, He says, do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His works. So Jesus was speaking the words of the Father. He spoke not on His own authority, but with God's authority. And in John chapter 16, verse 13, when Jesus is telling His disciples, hey, I'm about to go away, but you're not going to be left stranded. I'm going to be able to give you more instruction, or the Spirit will give you instruction, rather. In verse 13 of John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and will declare to you things that are to come. So Jesus is saying, the Spirit's not going to speak without authority. I'm not going to speak without authority. Everything is coming from the authority of God. And so, were questions directed to Jesus about authority proper? Well, yeah, it is proper to talk about authority. Now, they should have recognized the authority of Jesus, but they were proper in asking that, well, we cannot act without authority. So when they went and asked Jesus, by whose authority are you doing these things? Yeah, that's a proper question. I don't think they were really asking for the right reason. I think their words were really more of a rebuke. You know, like if you're late to class and you cut through the gym and the teacher catches you, who gave you permission to cut through the gym? Well, they're not really looking for, well, it was Dr. Jamerson that gave me permission to cut through the gym. They know when they ask the question that you weren't supposed to be there in the first place. They know the answer to the question before they ask it. They're not really interested in who gave you authority to cut through the gym. They're rebuking you because you did something without authority and they know it. Well, I think that's more of the situation that we have here when they're asking you, by what authority did you do these things? They're not really looking for an answer. They are more interested in giving a rebuke and saying that you don't have authority to do this. These men did not like Jesus. They didn't like His teaching, and they were trying to put a stop to Him. But when you go back to the question, by what authority do you do these things? That's a valid question, because we need authority for what we do. And Jesus certainly did act for authority and encouraged others to do the same. The third question is, was Jesus trying to dodge their questions? We might hear it described as pivoting today, right? If you're a political junkie, or you happen to be walking through the room while your spouse is watching politics, you don't want to watch it, but you overhear it. But there's a lot of talk about pivoting. When somebody asks you a question, well, how do you answer the question without answering it? Well, it's very clear that politicians, or those that want to be one, sometimes don't answer the questions that are asked to them. And then whoever's asking has to try to get it back on track. Well, you know, does Jesus answer their question? Is he trying to dodge their question? Well, Jesus answered their question with a question. So let's take a look at that. Matthew chapter 21, verses 24 and 25. Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him?" And so, this technique of answering a question with a question, Jesus was getting something across. Because he had these people figured out. He knew the reason for them asking the question that they did. Their questions were part of an ongoing challenge to him. And they tried to challenge him at every turn. And really, Jesus is staying on topic because he is still addressing authority. It's still on authority. To paraphrase, he says, "Was John's baptism authorized by God or merely by John? Was it from heaven or men?" And this is a legitimate topic. And they didn't want to answer it because they felt like they were pinned either way that they went. And the reason Jesus answered the question the way that he did is because he knew these men were corrupt. And he knew the reason for which they were asking him questions in the first place. I would not say that Jesus dodged their question, but he promises to answer after they answer, and they won't do it. Jesus had really answered the question already on numerous occasions prior to this. He had made it clear that his authority came from his Father in heaven. It reminds me of how they kept questioning the blind man about how he was healed, and he told them, "I told you over and over, and you didn't believe me." And this is the same type of situation. They have been asking the same questions over and over. So, it's an interesting question. In John chapter 5, John chapter 5, verses 16 through 19, we see that Jesus has already answered this question. John chapter 5, 16 through 19. "And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. As Jesus answered them, 'My Father is working until now, and I am working.' This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but because he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." That is something that they had a problem with. So the questions that they are asking over and over, they are getting the same answers, and they don't like the answers, and they're trying to entrap Jesus by the things that they're asking. In John chapter 9, starting in verse 29 through 33, "We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, 'Why is this an amazing thing that you do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes? We know that God does not listen to sinners. If anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he would do nothing.' They answered him, 'You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?' And they cast him out." Isn't that interesting that they cast him out when they couldn't answer the blind man's arguments? But the blind man had a point. You know, Jesus did these things, and he wouldn't be able to do them without the authority of God. And, God is his own source of authority. God doesn't have to go to anybody for authority. The Jews did not accept these answers, and they're not accepting it now when they ask these questions of Jesus. Let's look at the next question that we see here. What is the source of John's baptism? It's interesting that we see that it was commonly believed that John the Baptist was a prophet and that he was from God. And, you know, how is it that the common people could figure this out, but the rulers could not? You know, how would they have known that John was a prophet and his baptism was authorized by God in heaven? And well, you know, this is because it was something that was prophesied. You know, if you look in Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way." John the Baptist was the one that prepared the way for the Lord. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness. And so the gospel starts that way. John was the fulfillment of prophecy from Malachi and Isaiah. And John's ministry fulfilled these prophecies that many of these people would have been familiar with if they were ones that knew the Scriptures. Well, who should know the Scriptures? Well, these religious leaders should know them. And it's interesting that they say that the people respect John the Baptist, and we can't say anything about that about him, but they didn't seem to have that same respect or did not come to the conclusion that the people had about John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was the subject of Old Testament prophecy. Second, at the baptism of Jesus, God confirmed that Jesus was His Son. If you look in Matthew 3:16 and 17, as John the Baptist baptized Jesus, in verse 16 it says, "Jesus was baptized. Immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And so, this is the fulfillment of prophecy as well, and God confirmed Jesus to be His Son. So this implies that John and his baptism were also something that were authorized from heaven, and that this was a confirmation. So Jesus was not going through some kind of unauthorized act. This is all, you know, part of God's plan. These Jewish lawyers could have known the source of John's baptism. I don't think they really cared to know. They cared about their power and they cared about their position, but they rejected John and they rejected Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 28, it says, "I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. So these Jewish leaders rejected John's baptism. That's why Jesus asked this question, because he knew they rejected that. And brings us to the next and the last point. Why did the rulers balk at answering this question? We've already, you know, reference that. They balked at the question because they knew the repercussions. They knew the consequences. But sometimes when people are asked a question, there'll be a long pause. And sometimes it's because of the nature of the question. It may be that the person doesn't know the answer, but it may be that the person does know the answer. And if I answer this, I'm going to be in big trouble, or I'm getting somebody else into big trouble. And I don't want to do either one of those things. Again, let's look at what was said here in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 21. After Jesus asked the question, it says, "The baptism of John, where did it come from heaven or from man? They discussed it among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet.' So they answered Jesus, 'We do not know.' And he said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" I can just imagine their reaction as they walked away. You know, they're banging their fists. "Oh, he got us." But, you know, they balked at this because no matter how they answer, they're going to be in trouble. They're either going to be in trouble with Jesus by implication, you know, God, or they're going to be in trouble with the people. And so neither direction seems really good. So because of the non-answer, Jesus didn't answer them either. But he's already demonstrated in his authority to them. These men should be fearing not the people, but they should be fearing God. These men won't answer because of fear. And you know what's interesting about that to me is that a non-answer really doesn't protect you. When people choose not to answer a question, you know, the truth will come out, and certainly it did here. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 25, the implication here is that if they had believed John, what would they have done? Well, if they had believed John, Jesus would have, well, were you baptized with John's baptism? If you believed John, then why didn't you do it? Well, they couldn't go down that path. They were so entrenched in their hatred of Jesus and what Jesus was doing to their system that they couldn't show any kind of allegiance with Jesus or His teaching. And people still battle today against things that they don't want to do. In Mark 16:16 tells us to be baptized to be saved. Acts 2:38, to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You still see people kick against those things. Being baptized to wash away sins, is it from heaven or is it from men? Well, when Paul was told what he needed to do by Ananias, he went and did that. He went and washed away his sins. And so there's certainly a lot that can be taught about this subject and many others regarding ignoring answers to questions or refusing to answer a question. Most of you know I have an iPhone. I was a charter member of the iPhone Club. But you know, it's got an alarm clock on it. And you know what's interesting or sad really is that I have my alarm set, and Jarrell knows this very well, for 6:15, 6:30, 6:45, 7 o'clock. I can have multiple alarms set, and I can decide at which of these alarms I'm going to get up, if any. And Jarrell hates that. You know, I would like to believe when the alarm goes off that it's not true. And you know, in a couple of weeks, it's not going to be true because time's going to change. We're going to get an extra hour. But I can throw the phone away. I can throw the alarm clock away. But when it goes off, it's really time to get up. It means the same thing. And when I look at the clock, generally the clock is right. Regardless of what I want to do. And when Jesus asked these questions, when they asked questions about authority and they got the answers that Jesus gave, they didn't want to accept the answer. But not answering the question, not paying attention to Jesus' answers, or not paying attention to implications when it comes to the Scriptures doesn't change anything. If I want to fight against the Scripture, if I want to change it, if I want to ignore it, if I just want to tear pages out, it doesn't ever change anything, no more than me throwing the clock out the window changes what time it is. But it's interesting how people will continue to kick against the truth in many different areas. So these people declared that they were going to kill Jesus because they didn't like what He taught. Today, people don't like what He taught. They're not in the position now to take His life physically like they did. But still, they reject Him. They put Him to death because of their resistance and because of their rebellion. And they don't take advantage of the gift that Christ gave them. Let's take advantage of what Christ did for us. One of the great lessons of the New Testament is how Jesus dealt with persecution and how He dealt with those that were against Him and was able to handle that persecution in a way that He did not sin. And He was able to be the perfect sacrifice for us. So let's be thankful for that and take advantage of that. If we can help you anyway, be obedient to the gospel of Christ.
Don't continue to fight against it, but be obedient to it. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.